The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jane here at Black Hollywood Lives for The Beat. I'm joined in studio by Poppy Watts.
Uh-oh, in the building. You see it. Let's get it. Let's go.
Miss Queen Wink.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. Cameron Penny.
What up? Happy holidays, Wells. Happy New Year. How long after Happy New Year can you keep saying Happy New Year?
Bitch, until
the New Year. And then you just keep saying the New Year.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
You can say it for the whole month of January.
For the whole month of Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, yes. We have also special guest, inspirational actor, producer,
clothing
designer, Major Williams.
Hey.
What's up? Blessing the building.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
He has a calm spirit. I'm going to have to break that up a little bit.
We're going to break it up, but we're going to start. I wanted to come in real hype and all that, but unfortunately, the legendary Miss Natalie Cole has passed away, and so we wanted to give a little special tribute, play this lovely little shindig, Unforgettable. She sang with her father.
Yeah, rest in peace, Natalie Cole. We lost a big one. She was the first death, she was the first celebrity to die in 2016.
Mm-hmm. So, sad story, but, Natalie Cole is legendary. I mean, for those who don't know, she's a 9-time Grammy Award winner, 30 million records sold. So she did
it. 30 million.
So a lot of people, she got so caught up in heroin and crack in the 80s and caught hep C, kidney failure, and, she never got her career back. But, 30 million records, 9 Grammys is a lot.
That's fine. She can live for the rest of her life. Well, she lived the rest of her life.
And her children and so on.
Yeah.
All right. Also sick, Gymnast Janet Jackson went in for surgery. She had to put a pause on the Unbreakable tour. She found a little tumor on her vocal cords.
Yeah.
And, they're saying it could have been cancerous, they wanted to get it removed, and we don't know when the tour is going to start back up, but, shout out to Janet.
Wish her well, though.
Yeah,
wish her well, but, Adele and,
Adele had that issue?
Sam Smith, they had vocal surgery last year.
But they didn't say anything.
It was hemorrhage.
It was more like a hemorrhage.
Growing a tumor.
This was more catching it before anything happened.
Well, that's what's happening a lot more since they're on a strenuous touring. A lot more people are being more aware of it.
Which Christina Aguilera, that's always been the thing about her is because the way Christina sings, she puts so much strength on her vocal cords. And I've always had this conversation that one day, and I'm wondering if that's why we haven't heard a lot from Christina, is she be taking these breaks to really
rest her voice, probably.
Because she be,
she go in.
And she don't really have anything out right now. So there isn't really that much singing going on, So
Janet, hopefully you get better.
She will.
The thing is, but Janet's Janet's like a Britney to me, like worst case scenario.
Just dance and voice track.
Lip it. I just saw this video. I have never seen this before. I can't believe I've never seen this before, but Beyonce lip syncing, and Beyonce just didn't give a shit. She just put the mic down and walked across the stage to partition. I was like,
Beyonce could do whatever she wanted to do.
But people would still fight and be like, she was not lip syncing. The angels came through her and they were.
That's the beehive.
Exactly.
We're not saying anything bad, beehive.
That's all love.
Love you.
All right. So, what I want to talk to you guys about, though, really is so much music really dropped during the holiday season.
Yeah.
So, Major, I know you working on your projects and whatnot, but I know you be out here listening to some of the other stuff. Was there any mixtapes, albums that really stood out to you?
Well, to be honest, like for the last second half of last year, I wasn't listening to it. Well, the first half of last year, I wasn't listening to anything for like 6 months. The last second half, I was listening to a lot of different music. And I caught wind of,
Bryson Tiller.
He's pretty dope and talented. And we was talking about kid from
Tory Lanez.
And I was listening to his stuff. And you know, Chris Brown, he's a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. I like both of the mixtapes and he put out. I was listening to the Royalty joint. And 50 Cent. Like, I actually like the new music that he put out. And I've been saying this for a long time. If 50 actually go and get with some cool guys with some damn swag, that nigga could have never fell off. Mm-hmm. But if he want, you know, you can be all the way New York if you want to. But you better come fuck with these cool niggas over here. Mm-hmm. Get your swag back.
I think his swag should just remain where it's at. He had his time. Let's spend that long money.
Either or.
It's more the people I think he just surrounds himself with.
I think 50 just meddles too much in the bullshit.
I think a part of him was starting to focus more on corporate. Yeah. So that's why he lost a little bit of his swag because he was just focusing.
You know what it reminded me of? Remember when Usher was like so up here and he got with a person that the public thought was less than attractive?
Yeah, his wife.
He started acting older and super, super mature, mm-hmm. and shit just dwindled down. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this scenario with 50 Cent. Once you go super corporate and you have to walk this fine line, it's hard to go back and really relate. So you got to go back and get dirty. That's why you see him
fighting
in the streets more, going to these social small media radio stations.
He was just in my hood. He was just right.
Well, isn't that his hood too?
Southside Jamaica, Queens. But he was in the Rochdale area, which is more my side. He's more closer to the Ave. I'm more on. More closer to myself. So he was in the Rochdale area. People were saying Baisley, but he wasn't in Baisley. He was like in Rochdale.
What was he doing? Like giving
just
back?
Just driving through. Yeah. That's the white
Phantom he was in.
With the drop top joint. That's my hood, South Jamaica, Queens, all day.
She repping all that right now.
It just be hating. Sorry.
She repping all that. But yeah, man, I just feel like 50, man, it feels like you're reaching, man. I mean, just because you're throwing a suit doesn't make you any less of a killer.
True.
But, so, I mean, he's still a gangster, bro, but it's the public perception of it. Yeah. Like I said, you're older, man, like, trying to do all this young stuff, I don't think it really sits well.
I think he's doing a good job.
See, I mean, not musically.
Yeah,
but
not musically,
everything else,
but business-wise.
Right. I mean, he got
I don't need 50
budget.
Cent in a booth rapping about.
Yeah, you know, he don't have nothing to rap around in it. Like, he doesn't have anything to rap about anymore,
Smart. Yeah. Like, here you are. You've learned so much. You've gotten yourself out of the streets. You've pulled yourself out of here. Right. Here you are. Teach the kids what you're doing.
Exactly. Right.
Teach them how to dress in a suit. Teach them how to, like, I don't know. Like, that's, to me, that's what... Diddy tried to do. You know, he created Sean John. You know, he created the apparel line to make sure, like, if you're going to follow me, you're going to dress like me. Right. So, okay, the G-Unit line, that worked in, like, 2007. I feel like I'm giving that actually. But beyond all that, let's talk about some of the good music, though. But, yes, Tory Lanez,
he's pretty dope.
The Chicks Tape.
That's foul how y'all taking what I was going to talk about, because I was just going to talk about Brian. You know I was going to talk
about
Brian.
Bitch, we going to get there.
You know.
Can I talk about what I was listening to?
Go ahead,
dark skin niggas coming back hard, though.
Damn.
Dark skin niggas coming back.
They ain't never left me. I love me a black motherfucker. The darker, the better, the sweeter the juice. Not you with your light ass. I like them black. So black that they blue, if I can get them. Sorry, but I like them dark. I like them dark. That dick be right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead. 2016. Go ahead, Jesse. So you listen to Tory Lanez.
Tory Lanez, who, you know what I mean? Puts me in the mood. Anyways, I mean, this whole thing about all these, I guess, new age R&B artists, because that's what it is. It's a new age R&B. It's not...
Your typical
what I grew up listening to is R&B. But I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I think it's like this Eric Bellinger sound. I don't know, where we've taken the old 90s sound, which that's nothing new, but to take a whole album and kind of do that, take all these old songs, remix them. You got all the bitches out here, say it! Like that song ain't never been out before.
That's Brownstone!
Throwing panties.
It shows that they're artistically and creatively actually making an effort now.
And they're making it their own.
So they're researching, they're crate digging, and they're actually going and researching and say, hey, let's recreate this. A lot of times we had a good span where people weren't even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're seeing the incline. But as we know with social media now, you have to pay attention to a certain degree because you're going to have people gauging and you're going to see your incline either go up or go down.
Right.
And it's been going down because what everybody's saying for hip-hop is dead. Music is dead. So we listen to that as artists, and people listen to that, and they, you know what I'm saying, go and try to recreate and, you know, come up with something fresh and new for the people, which they did.
For sure,
in their own way.
And hip-hop is not dead.
Yeah,
it's
not
just you ain't paying for it. Yeah. You're not paying.
It's evolving, man, and I feel like if it wasn't for pioneers like a Drake, or you wouldn't have a Tory Lanez, or you wouldn't have a Bryson
Tiller.
Because Drake was the first one playing with, like, Aaliyah, you know what I'm saying, playing with the old samples. So,
that's real.
You know, I feel like it's just the evolution of the game. It's the natural evolution of the game.
The ad-lib queen is... King is talking today. Go ahead, Cap. Lip King.
Speaking of Drake, you know, I'm wondering if there was no Drake, if we wouldn't have a new Kanye West, because I'm trying to figure out that new song, Facts.
By who?
Kanye West. Kanye West.
Sound like Jumpman.
How you jump the Jumpman track and then don't even murder it? Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm sure it's not going to be on his album. I think
he has the same epidemic as 50 has. You got to understand, he's at such a different plateau.
Yes.
And music, people use it for different things now. It's a vehicle and a tool and a marketing tool. It's not. He's not putting it out saying this is the best record ever. It's just to do exactly what we're doing right now. Because I don't think he can really connect anymore like he used to. You know what I'm saying? Unless he makes those kind of records.
I think Kanye's creative enough to do it. I think he's going to have to apply time to it that he doesn't have right now. Because he's in a space where he's focused on something else, which is the fashion. And his fashion, his sneakers are crazy.
And his right.
And but he brought Adidas back with those.
Absolutely.
But if you're focused in the fashion, why wouldn't you create a soundtrack to that? Like, I don't know. When you put on a show with something like that, I mean, let's talk about you. You have Lord Apparel.
Right.
So if you're going to put on a fashion show... Mm-hmm.
Does it come in an extra large?
But don't you think about everything? Don't you think about the music that represents the fashion, that represents, I don't know.
The culture. It's definitely a culture.
Yeah. You think fashion and hip-hop go together. Yeah, you think about it in the perspective of, am I trying to get a moment or am I trying to create a movement or a momentum? So there are different aspects on why actually people execute and do certain things. You know what I'm saying? I want this record because it's in parallel to one of the biggest records in the club right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so by me saying Yeezy jumping over that as promotion for Adidas, as promotion for him and his brand. You know what I'm saying? So now creatively, without huge budgets, you can do a lot with simple gestures.
Right, it's true.
I put out on my Instagram that my song that I dropped on that very same day, which is called My Own Business, was bigger than, doper than Kanye West's album. Why did I do that? Whether it was or not, but it got people talking.
Right.
I had some easy people hit me up like, you're a fucking liar. You're horrible.
But you still listen to it.
Yeah. So they went to the SoundCloud and listened to it, and they was able to judge it, yay or nay or whatever, but I knew what I was doing when I did the shit.
Right.
And another thing about artists like Kanye and 50 compared there, but they're like 10 years older. Like, these guys are approaching their 40s when Drake's still in his 20s, Tory. 50's
already 40.
Yeah, it's appealing to him.
So it's a different, they got to connect with a younger audience.
And that's not an easy thing to do, man. Hip-hop has been historically a young man's game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we could argue that, but since its inception, it's been for the young man. You know what I mean? So, really, who's buying records for real, man? It's these kids.
Right.
I mean, as adults, man, you don't see men going out and buying.
I'll buy Jay-Z. Right?
But see, that's what I say. It's a vehicle.
Right.
Like, say, for instance, if you have somebody like Common, right? I like, say, for instance, Tory Lanez, but I like Common's. Come also. The reason why I would like come is because I want to see a live show, right? It's not because I want to buy a CD. So nowadays, you can love an artist for different
reasons.
And hip hop has gotten older, so it's not even about right
age.
Now. Just the CDs and downloads. Yeah,
right.
Y'all can have that, right? But when it comes to the other tangible things, they can still be viable assets.
That makes sense. That's why, The Weeknd, I could never, like for me personally, I could listen to a full album, but to go sit and watch an hour and a half of him live.
I saw him perform before in Vegas.
That's a good point.
No, like a single. Like, I would be at like the TRL tour or whatever the damn show is. Right. I'd be there and I'd watch it. Probably just show my
age. That's like Adele.
You know, I caught that. Like,
my first concert ever was the TRL tour.
That'd be a TRL.
The TRL tour.
Showing your age.
Total request live.
All right, but just anyways, Drake. There was a rumor Drake was going to release on the 6th today. Mm-hmm. Clearly didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Unless it's streaming on Apple Music or something. I'm unaware, but I doubt that.
But one thing, real quick, before we get out of here, 2016 will be a good year in music.
I already see the
Jay-Z, Beyonce. It's going to be so much stuff.
Fuck them.
Rihanna.
What about Tory Lanez and Bryson fucking?
But they got to show and prove. I mean, they doing their thing now, but is that going to translate to albums?
No, but to be honest, I'm over the Beyoncé's, the Kanye.
I want some new blood. What's Beyoncé going to do now? All I'm saying with the new love is
get some downloads, get some sales, start getting your tour, getting your tour. That's all I'm saying.
This is what
you
this
can
is,
be hot
listen,
all you want.
Nigga, this is my
sell some records.
This is my vision for Bryson Tiller and Tory Lanez, because obviously they sound similar, right?
Right.
They both look similar.
Rapping with melody.
They're both rapping
with some melody. Nah, Tory from Houston.
I feel like Tory's more of a rapper.
No, Tory's from Toronto.
I mean, Tori's from Toronto. The other guy's from Texas.
Bryson's from Texas.
Yeah, that's what
but
I meant.
They sound similar, but Tori is a little more hot. But Bryce, Bryson Tiller has
Tori's
the team.
Tori got the bigger, hotter record.
But Bryson has the team.
I like McAvely.
Listen, I'm talking, son of a bitch. Bryson Tiller has the best team. Tory Lanez has the best music. But what it's showing is if you don't have the proper team, no matter how fucking dope you are, it's not going to matter.
Yep,
sure. Tory Lanez should have been had an album drop, not no fucking mixtape. Yeah. Bryson Tiller took advantage of the fact that
he was hot.
That he was hot. Drake mentioned him on October 14th, 2014. Mm. And now he dropped the album that I purchased. Right. Tory Lanez, when I went to search for him on iTunes, it was just Say It coming up. Yeah. Who's taking advantage of what? The team is what is going to make you succeed. You need your team to be on top of shit. Tory Lanez
Now let me be devil's advocate.
Yeah,
let me be the devil's advocate.
Get her, all
right.
Jesse.
So here we have Bryson Tiller, who's hot right now, right?
Yeah.
But his sound is new. It's people are kind of getting into
trap
it. They're
soul,
touching
yeah.
into it right mm. now. So what we've seen in the past is you can have a lot of one hit wonders, right? So to me, Bryson Tiller's hot right now. People are purchasing it. You see it on iTunes. Where Tory Lanez, he's huge in the mixtape game.
Yeah.
So people who fuck with hip-hop music, who fuck with music, who know what sites they need to be on, the fan base people versus the people who are just like, right. Oh, this song's cute. I have a dollar. Here's 99 cents. I want this song. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
So in that case...
The real difference is...
Get him, Poppy.
So, I'm saying is I feel like Tory Lanez... It's not a lost cause. It's now look at what Bryson's doing.
Right.
Now get your team together.
Yeah.
And you can overcome that. Because Bryson, like I've showed you the difference in all of Tory's music.
Yeah.
Tory can do so many different things. Straight rap to straight rap.
And I hate to hop in and cut you off, man. But Tory's grind's a lot stronger and a lot longer, too, than Tiller.
He got the team.
I'm saying he's been doing it forever, man. It's a hot new hip hop.
Right.
DJ Ill Will. They were promoting this dude.
Right. But Tory might be making more coin than Bryson.
Tiller's team is all the bitches out there that's like Tiller.
You gotta look at this. Look at this as a metaphor. You guys ever heard of what's my guy name? Damn, I can't speak up and not remember the guy's name right now. What's my guy name with the eyes? He's a rapper.
Oh, Fetty Wap.
No. With the eyes. The white
Don
eyes.
Benjamin.
Oh, white eyes.
Oh, Ty Dolla
$ign. I'm talking about Hobson.
Hobson.
What the fuck is Hobson?
See, exactly.
No, he's everything.
Huge.
He's huge.
Really?
Super rich. He doesn't care about
He
doesn't care about being Drake, but he has Drake money.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like the new age Tech N9ne.
Why I'm saying the parallels of what social media has done is take away the dinosaur perspective of people and fans on how they look at what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
The dope thing now is do what you don't supposed to do and believe in it and rock with it, and your time is going to come. You can't sit back and be observing Bryson Tiller and like, God damn, kicking yourself, because me personally, I could easily see myself doing it a lot of times, but I can't. I can't afford to compete with those guys in their relationships and their network, so I have to do it in my own way. And if I can't do it that way, I would drive myself crazy.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I have to be content with what I'm doing and just keep taking those steps, even though I have people that are passionate like you, be like, you gotta do this, you gotta go, $100,000 for radio. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like at the end of the day, Tory Lanez has the fucking quality of work.
But two things. But he may not work well with... I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but he may be like, no, I don't want to give you 20%. I want 15%. Like, look at Azalea Banks. She's fucking doper than half the female rappers out there.
It's a lot of dope.
But her attitude, no one want to work with her. Nobody want to fuck with her. Yeah. So, yeah, she got the catalog, but guess what? Tink going to come up and shit on Azalea Banks' life.
Right.
I mean, unless Azalea going to be on this album.
It's a two-sided coin. I think you're both right. I think, Queen, you're right in the sense that the rise will be quicker.
Right.
Oh. He's going to get there.
He's gonna get on someone's tour ASAP.
Right, but the thing about Tory Lanez is what he's building is a groundswell of
foundation.
It's a fan base, a real fan base. Right. You know what I mean? Not a fly by night type
of
deal.
So,
you know
think Bryson Tiller is fly by night?
I don't think he's fly by night because I think he's talented enough to do it. But I
see longevity with Bryson Tiller and Tory Lanez, but Tory Lanez is gonna come up a little later. It's just unfortunate. I'm sorry to go in on a tangent with these two guys, but I think Tory Lanez is gonna come up eventually. And the question is, will it be too late? Yes, you can do your underground swell. You can do your underground swell. You can do whatever you want to do and get your fans or whatever on a low. But, excuse me. But in order for you to reach that pinnacle, that the reason why people get into this industry in the first place, people want the popularity. People want that. Yeah. They want
J.
that
Cole
crossover.
Has one of the number one albums.
All I'm saying, we can move on.
Who the hell are you to talk about we both want?
I'm just saying, we've been on the subject for a minute. All I'm saying is, can both of these guys deliver records, downloads, CD sales, number one? I'm talking about not number one on R&B and hip-hop. I'm talking about number one across the board.
Of course they can.
Well, they can do that.
We have to see that.
That's what I'm saying.
Me, personally, I can't say that, like, from what I've heard from these guys right now, everything is like some dope stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And me being an artist, I know how hard it is, hard it is to get recognition. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when I hear them, and I've been doing this long enough to be like, that's cool. They really have to prove themselves. Like right now, it's fly by night.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
you hot. Because I've seen it. I've seen them come and go. I wrote with some of the biggest people. I produced with some of the biggest people. And we talk about this because you have to understand, what are they going to do, metaphorically speaking, when they get hit in the mouth? And that means is when they're not as hot.
Right.
How are they going to go and fester up that same energy and come out differently or creatively?
Right.
Even Drake had to do it. Like, everyone had to
It's just more to be an artist than just the music. That's the live show.
And
Chris Brown throws an amazing live show.
And that goes back to your point, Poppy, about Tory building a foundation where he'll have consistent fans at his
show. So we'll have to see it to prove it.
But show and prove both of y'all.
Going off of what you said, though, the final mixtape to talk about is Timbaland, King Stays King. Because as I listened to it, I didn't love it. I liked a lot of the songs off it. Didn't love it. I felt like it was a little overkill with what you were saying. It was how to recreate yourself, but also stay yourself. And I felt like he jumped too much into the new age with these kids. But I got to say, one thing that irritated me about it is I love her on Love & Hip Hop, but I did not want to hear Cardi B on Timbaland's mixtape talking about my pussy and my titties is, you know,
that
fleek.
Bitch is ratchet.
I love her on Love & Hip Hop, but
I hate the way I'm not ratchet. Annoying, how pussy
to come after
she's
an Aaliyah track?
Yeah. Annoying
no,
as hell.
I agree.
That's just not
but
attractive
she's
at all.
But, she be like, anyone who has beef with
but
me
we ain't here
have
to
beef. Fall.
But at the same time,
like,
I got a shout out to Major because it makes sense. Timbaland did it because who's fucking in right now? This bitch got over 1 million people following
her.
Cardi B.
Get out of here.
That's the only reason she's on the show.
Right.
That's why Timbaland was like, oh, let me get the number one show on TV. Let me get the number one bitch that's about to be popular.
Why are they following her, though?
Because it's entertaining.
It's a ratchet society.
They follow her for the same reason you have veteran comedians. You're like, fuck these Vine people and these Snapchat people that's funny for 15 seconds, but they haven't put in the work to go and make a whole hour set or 30-minute set, and they all tank.
Yeah.
But to their defense also,
I like this guy.
They still have to put in the work to actually get to that point. So I don't fault them for tanking because I've heard some of the stories, but they got to work just like they tank too. But they're just saying they're not giving them their overall due praise right now.
But I didn't think
out the
Cardi
gate because
B
they have a million
hot.
People laughing at them on 15 seconds.
Yeah,
people. You see what I'm saying?
We live in a ratchet society.
It's sketch comedy though, man. It's completely different. Like it's like saying. I don't know, man. Like Key and Peele, man. Like, would you go see one of their stand-up shows?
Nope.
No,
absolutely
not.
Never.
But they put together a great sketch comedy show,
and they're great in that.
They're great in that.
That show would be 10 times better than Cardi B standing on stage talking about her titties for 45 minutes. Anyways, moving on from that. So, Major, we have videos that we're going to show you. We're going to have you take a look at them, and you're going to give us your honest feedback after watching them. The first one is Mahia Jordan. The song is called "Something About You."
What happened?
And he might be.
You dance with me. It's the way.
Yes. All right, my Jordan. Right. Something about you. What'd you think?
I think it was dope. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Cool
I
sound. Like it. Kind of a little similar to Tory and.
I was gonna say that, but I'm just trying to keep it.
This
is the thing that I would say, man. A lot of these people are using similar formulas. In order to be successful, you should mimic a lot of great successful people because they have those embedded formulas in their process and how they execute things. But I think at the same time, everything you have to be conscious of everything. And I had that problem early on with my career, or so-called career.
It's
like I have to believe everything about you, right? So I don't see him singing that record. And that's something that could, you know what I'm saying?
Because if you close your eyes, that was a dope song, but to look at him.
Right. Yeah. So it could have been imagery, could have been different, the way they executed it, you know what I'm saying? Could have made it, could have put it off more real, more realistic.
To I agree with that.
And so both of those elements, it does sound like, Tory Lanez.
So funny you say that because who do we have in here? Rio? Remember when Rio Cragen came in?
Yeah.
And Queen gonna cuss him out talking about... That was you in the video? You can't be coming in here dressed like this, but the way he came in didn't represent his artistry. He was epic on that TV, and he came in.
I was like, don't ever come to an interview like that ever again. Right. Because when he came in here, he looked mad rough.
You thought he was some little middle schooler kid.
Yeah, but when he showed up on a screen, I was like, yo, that's you?
He's high gloss.
High gloss.
I mean, he was like.
He had all his shit on. His shit. He looked good in the video, but here he looked mad. I'm like, yo, where did they find this dude?
Right.
He looked mad crazy. But then when I saw the video, I was like, yo, you look good. You should come to every interview looking like your image.
Right.
You gotta be transparent. All that. You just gotta be yourself, man. I think people could buy into that. I think I was in the studio where I think it was like Nelly or something. He told me one time. He's like, it's the music, but that's a gateway. People gotta buy into you as a brand. That's why somebody could sell so many records like Nelly did.
Right.
Because people buying you, man. Right.
One of the top rappers.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Like, even like with the social media, like, I got some people that follow me just because they like when I post my son, and that may prompt them to buy my music. I got some people that follow me because they like my clothes. I got some people that follow me because they like my music. Because they like my music, they'll buy my clothes.
Right.
Or, and vice versa. They all play into helping each other.
They buy into your
brand. This is a good show because y'all is talking... Facts.
Well,
why you got to scream?
Let's talk about this next. We got to keep it pushing, y'all. Queen. We got to keep it pushing. So the next one, I really wanted to play the Candy Burress and Demetria McKinney one from Real Housewives of Atlanta, but we're going to skip that one.
Okay.
So we're going to play Jason Derulo, Get Ugly.
Well, he is ugly. No, I'm kidding.
The video, I don't know.
You got a hot girlfriend, though, right?
Let's just take
a look. Yeah, banging 50 chick, right?
You think Jason Derulo is ugly?
No, I was kidding.
Look at him like,
He can't sing, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. He has a nice body, too.
All right, let's take a look. Jason Derulo, Get Ugly.
Ladies, let your hair down. Let your hair down. He's about to get out. Oh my, oh my, oh my God. This girl straight and this girl not. Tipsy off that piece of rock, like. Ching-a-lang-lang, ching-a-lang-a-lang-lang. Jeans so tight, I can see loose change. Do your thang, thang, girl, do that thing, like.
Get ugly. Diddly, diddly,
diddly, diddly, diddly,
diddly, Get Ugly. Jason Derulo. Major, what are your thoughts?
Man. I wasn't really feeling that one.
All right. Not failure. Because, so here's the thing. I thought the video was dope.
I like the video.
I thought, like, whoever is on Jason got himself a good team, but he ain't got real bitches around him. Because a real bitch would have been like, this song is horrible. Did you really just say, ching-a-lang-a-lang-a-lang-a-lang? But I watched everyone's head in here. Whoever Jason is sucking dick to get these tracks, because every beat he got on his shit is everything.
Yeah.
We all of us went down and we all was like,
Isn't that what has been getting us for these past, in the new millennium anyway? The beats, motherfuckers don't even have to say anything.
But as a DJ, I can't even play that track because it's so corny.
For me, honestly, I just don't like saying it because I know he does have a nice amount of talent.
Yeah.
To be relevant and do what he needs to do rather than just going, you know, I don't, that was a combination of a lot of different elements. It was a lot going on.
I think Mike he was Jackson, trying to, yeah, Brown. I think he was
trying. Oh, I got Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim.
It could be.
Yeah. And I think he's trying to appeal to the young people by the way he was dressed in the video and stuff like that. He's trying to appeal to the young
people. He's a white pop artist.
He's not. The people behind him are like, look, you had that number one album with all the little
But he's not selling no records, though. Every time he drops, it's not
reaching. With that one album, I was surprised that it had even gone number
Billboard.
One.
I'm just what Billboard said.
What Billboard
said? It said Jason Derulo delivers high records but doesn't deliver high sales. Hmm. It's what it was. I mean, you know, that was coming out to Talk Dirty to Me. And
but I mean, that's neither, like I said, that's neither here nor there. Also, because he still can have a dope career.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Fan base.
With that said, because he has a fan base.
Of course.
Jason Derulo delivers catchy records, man.
Yeah.
So every record he delivers has a hit element to it. Of course. That record, not to compare, but compared to the record before, there was on a different level.
Yeah, you can hear it now.
The quality of the music, the catch, it was
definitely
there's levels to it. You get what I'm saying?
Right. I just feel like this is a part two off of. Everything, the wiggle it. Mm. What was that?
Wiggle.
But Snoop, yeah.
Right. But to his defense, he's been consistent.
Yeah, he's consistent.
Yep.
You know, so.
And the video visually looked awesome, so congratulations on that. I wish I'd get me something for my reel over there for that. All right, next. This song is so old, but he just dropped a video for it. I love him, so I want to give him props.
Oh, God.
Can you trust me?
I'm trying. Go ahead.
Can you trust me, Queen?
You sound like a man.
Well, that would who's be trying the penis to get between my legs.
Trying to get my hoo-ha. Trust
Sayari the Kid. The song is called TLC.
I remember them days when I used to hang in the club. So addicted to fame, they say it's the same as a drug. Not a lame or a scrub. No, that ain't what it was. Know this girl is somebody else's, I think I'm in love. She knows she bad, but what's new? Maybe the baddest. I want you, girl, I gotta have it. What it do, girl? You cool, girl, play by the rules, girl. Cause we catching feelings for show. You know the game and you know how it go. We keeping shit on the low. Girl, I'm a G, I'ma stick to the code. Too many times I've been down this road. Nobody's heard if nobody knows. Go ahead and call your nigga. Tell him you ain't coming home. I got you creeping, yeah. You got a man at home. You know he cheating. But you won't leave him, what's the reason? Yeah. You know your man is scrub. That ain't no real love. You rather get even, you don't need him, no. He got you.
What we're seeing is the back of his head.
Tory Lanez and the pricing thing.
Well, okay, but hold up. He did this before they had actually came out. Yeah. He's from the K Camp whole situation. I wonder if he didn't get shine because they were trying to push K Camp at first.
Right.
Mm. And that's why he's putting this out. Because
this track is amazing.
Yeah. That was a good song.
That's a dope ass track.
He's a dope artist, and to the credit of a lot of these artists, man, what's fucked up about music, man, is you cook up for a percentage of the year. And a lot of these people are playing with the same sound.
Yeah.
So by the time it drops, it's really like who gets there first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Poppy, why?
No, it's real. This TLC track, the reason it didn't part of the reason it didn't come out is because when that song came out, Eric Bellinger dropped his TLC The Creep song. Mm. So it was almost like, how are you going to compete with this dude who's getting all this play? He's on WorldStar. Now he's getting this video is only on WorldStar. So now, a year and what later, when do we have Eric in here? How long was that?
About 6 months ago.
It is all about timing and stuff. Right. And I just think it was a great track, but probably shouldn't have put that out. I don't know. But I mean, right now,
let the people choose.
I agree.
I know him more as a rapper than that. Right. I mean, this was
kind of like Freddie Gibbs or something, right? You know who Freddie Gibbs
is? Yeah,
kind of look like him.
Yeah.
What's your act? Where you from?
I'm Dallas.
Dallas.
Terrell, Texas.
Texas.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about Major Williams.
Smooth. Well, actually, let's take a listen to one of your songs. The song is called Become. Tell us a little about Become.
But Become actually came out December 10th. Just a title track off the EP. It's not necessarily a single. It's just a title track off an EP that I produced, which is called Become. And, you know, like I said, I wrote and produced it. And we just dropped it December 10th.
Let's take a listen.
Yeah, look what I've come. all about the hustle, nigga. Yeah, it just took a little muscle, nigga. Yeah, now I'm scarred facing all the hate. Yeah, I invite her just to make a way. Standing on Ferraris till I purchase new Ferraris. Sipping Henny in my cup, pulling bitches in the lobby. My niggas need a million. If I blow it, make a million. Hit the club and fuck it up. We spitting rose at the ceiling. I don't want no problems. I don't want no problems. I can solve situations where they call you do the math. 2 + 2 times, we busting with the 4-4. You happy with your girlfriend? To us, she gets a free throw. Major Williams, nigga. Really about it, nigga. California smoking. Instagram popping. Hit my nigga Gamey, got the hoes pussy popping. Chris Brown dancing on the couch, I'm getting money. I need $1 million, ain't letting up.
No.
When I get it, they gon' say that nigga got it. Whoa. Told them, listen close, I'm a mastermind. Ghetto boy in Hollywood, look what I become. Tell them, look what I become. Sucker, yeah, look what I become. Baby girl, look what I become. To all your haters, look what I become.
Major Williams, Become.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know what my favorite part of that record is?
What's that?
Sucker.
There's enough Ferraris.
So I started following you, and I started like paying attention to your story, and I was like, I have this thing where I love the new age because I love being able to watch artists grow and see them create and become, and people who never thought they could do something all of a sudden just pick up an instrument and just start doing it.
Right.
And you were really inspiring to me, and then to learn more of your story, how long you've actually been in a part of the game.
Right.
Was actually more fascinating. But so you taught yourself how to produce.
Right.
In only 6 months.
Right. Wow.
Right.
How did that come about?
It came out of necessity. You know, before my independence, I was signed to Jamie Foxx for 3.5 years. And during that time, you know, I had at disposal the best engineers, the best producers, everybody wanted to work with me.
And now let's explain that. So this is after a time where Jamie had put out his first album. At that time?
No, I was signed to him a year and a half ago. So for 3 years. And after that, after I departed ways with that situation, I saw a shift in a lot of people's interest in wanting to work with me because, you know, when you want to work with somebody, of course they want to come to Jamie Foxx's house and the studio and record because they want to work with me for the simple fact that if they do this for me and do a good enough job, he's going to hear it and be closer to him and be able to work with him at some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of happened, and I fell into a hole for a good year just trying to regroup and figure things out because, you know, once you're on such a high like that, you know, you can get jaded like I was telling Cameron. You know, I was jaded. I thought I was Jamie Foxx. I thought I was popping, you know, but in true reality, you're not. So you had to, and I had to go back and revisit a few things. So long story short, I just, I bought a brand new Mac. But before that, I reached out to a few producers and they kind of like shitted on me, you know, gave me the waiting game. Jamie Foxx always says this, LA is the land of the fast yes and a slow no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was happening time and time again. So I just got frustrated and, I went and bought a Mac. I just started tinkering. That part was fucking excruciating because I was just ready to record, but my beats were super whack, like just horrible, right? But, you know, I went to YouTube. I learned a lot from guys on YouTube. Like, this is me in my own space,
yeah.
You know, just doing nobody around, just me probably and my thoughts going through all
the How many times did you want to give up?
Oh, man, shit. Countless times.
How, like, take us through a day because I mean, this is how I got to doing what I'm doing, YouTube. Yeah, I went to the school of YouTube. So for you, waking up every morning, you wake up, and as an artist, I go through this all the time. Artists go through depression because you get through this thing of, I can't think about this fucking project one more goddamn time. But you have to.
Right.
How do you push yourself? How did you, at that time, push yourself? After you had all this high and this success, and it's like, fuck, like I'm really going to do this by myself?
I think you – me personally, I use me being bitter – I used me being a little upset. I used the fact that I actually thought I was good enough to do it. And from me actually believing that, it actually gave me the legs I need to stand up on, so to speak, to actually continue on. And beyond that, I'm a family guy, you know, and I have my son. So raising a young son, there's no way that I put myself in a position where he would be able to mirror me or look at me and as his dad saying that, oh, he quit or he gave up. So my family actually gave me more inspiration more than anything, you know what I'm saying? So I'm from Dallas, Texas. I came out to L.A. for a purpose and a reason. And I don't see myself coming out here running back to Dallas with my tail tucked in my ass.
How long right. have you been here?
I've been here over 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell us about Lord Apparel. When did you start that?
Lord Major Apparel started right around the same time I signed with Jamie Foxx over 3 years ago. I started out with $80,000, had somebody take all of it from me within 7 months. And
was the fashion line like your idea? Was it like old, like people being like, you know what, getting into the game, you should probably have something on your side?
No, it was me basically sitting at home one day and trying to diversify my portfolio, so to speak. And I was really heavy into all the HBO shows like Game of Thrones, and you know how they talk like Squire and Sir and Lord, and I just randomly came up with it. And so Lord Major Apparel came about, and I went through a few different people to, you know, teach me the ropes or whatever. And, you know, from there, it just came into a big phenomenon because a lot of celebrities were wearing it, and it just took off really fast. It was in all the gossip magazines. I had Leonardo DiCaprio wearing it, Jamie Foxx, of course, and countless other stars that was wearing it. But what happened was, you know, I wasn't prepared for that kind of success out the gate, and I wasn't prepared to ship it out and do different things. And I didn't have a LLC or business license. So, man, you know, my website was barely up. It crashed like 20 times. And mind you, I didn't have a team. It was just me, just from my Mac. Just, oh, I'm just create something and do it. And it did well. So I had to regroup. And,
is everything like stuff that you, your swag that you think isn't out there? Because I saw like you have these button up shirts where they're like, it's like fur on the inside.
Oh, yeah. That came from a combination of, I actually have a real coat like that. And I like wearing dress shirts because, you know, I do my business stuff. So I was like, it'd be dope to put like some cool, colorful fur on the inside of a dress shirt, given the season that we're actually in, and make them different colors and just, let's just see how it does. And that's what you do in fashion. You may make only 50 of them
pieces,
but to for the general public, it looks like you're in full mass production. And just from the exposure from that, I've been able to get 1,500 orders over the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Just from boutique stores that's across the nation, you know, because it looks as if it's supposed to be
so
something.
Would you open up a Lord Major store?
Probably not. Not until
that's
I had
a lot of dedication.
Yeah,
huh?
Probably until I had a big enough team to actually operate it. But me personally, like, I'm kind of like all over the place. But in a good way, because, you know, I mimic people like Russell Simmons.
Saw him yesterday.
Diddy and, you know, 50 for things that he's done in the culture. And that's what part of what I was telling you about now. Like, no, I don't have a hit record, but I got a hit life. You know what I'm saying? And my shit is always going up, and I feel like I'm a walking hit record. You know what I'm saying? So my clothing line is a hit record. And, you know, you take 10 different, you know, $100,000, you're a millionaire.
So let me ask you a question. So the music that you're doing right now, what makes you stand out from everyone else, number one? And number two, this go around, being that you've stopped a few times to regroup, this go around, if it doesn't go according to the way you want it to go, will you just stop rapping and give 100% to Lord Major?
I don't think I ever stop and give anything 100%, honestly, because I don't think it takes that to make $1 million these days, especially when you have smart people and you have certain functions that work for me. Right now, I'm making money. People are sending money to my PayPal right now, right? So I would never – I can go do 3 hours of promotion, right, and then for a whole week it's just generating. I prefer that. If I work hard, I probably can make a lot more, but that's a lifestyle that I prefer. What's different about my music, I would say, is that it has a great combination sonically on how I produce my records. I'm not actually I've pulled from everyone, but at the same time, I've executed in my own way. My message is a combination of cool shit, but also real life. So when I say become is an actual great conversation starter that we can actually talk about why it's called Become, because I've been through so much. Where I'm at right now, I feel like I've became something. To go, you know, sit in a dark room for a whole year by yourself and come out with the light shining on you, with a whole new perspective. You're a business person. You have your family in check. And you cut a lot of the fat away from you. You're like, shit, that's what's dope about me. Because like he said, it ain't always. I know it's not just about my music. That's how I know I can be dope and I know I can be hot. So, yeah, it's just a combination of real life stuff, inspirational, motivational stuff. But I'm still on my ratchet shit. You know, I am from the project, so I do have a certain owner off switch that I have to, like, play with all the time, mm-hmm. put the tape on that bitch so I can't hit it, because it, mm-hmm. you know, it can go left real fast. But out here, you got to learn how to maneuver, and that's mm-hmm. what I learned. I was banned from clubs in L.A. for 2 years, Daryl will tell you, because I had, you know, I had a temper. Like, when you tell me something, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do. And mm-hmm. the nigga say, I'm going to play your record at 12 o'clock. You don't. I'm going to punch you in your fucking face. Mm-hmm. But that's not how you're supposed to do it, right? Like, you know, but I didn't know that. You know, I'm young. I was young and just like, wow. So I had to adjust and learn how to maneuver my conversation and my temperament. You know what I'm saying?
So we're going to get an EP, Because I Can. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get an album, Become.
Well, this is or what happened. We were going to get Become for December, mm-hmm. Which is an EP that I produced. Because of the timing and certain things worked out the way they did, we just didn't see it pulling off, because we was going to actually produce an event with myself, Wale, and King Los to give it a better platform. Mm-hmm. Because that didn't happen, we're doing it at a later date. Okay. In that time, I produced something more courageous and doper in my eyes, and that's what artists do sometimes. You guys may actually love it, but I don't heard it a million times now, right. So I'm moving mm-hmm. on. So in that time, I've already created another record, which is Because I Can EP, and that'll be coming out this month.
In January. So I mean, what's the difference between the sounds for that? As far as like where you were and
where I was then, I was competing with Drake, Bryson, Future, you know. So I went to a tempo of 75 a lot on that one particular project. Soon as Because I Can come on, it's jumping, it's moving, and then it feels like a project because it stays solid in quality, but it goes down. With that one, it just stayed at a certain tempo. How you know, and I say this a lot, I love Future, I love his music, but I can't listen to a Future yeah. album. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it starts to sound the same on every single record. And mine actually had certain aspects to start sounding the same. It was still cool and dope, but
so you're two different types of...
Yeah, it was just two different type of projects. And I'm not afraid to put it out. It still will come out, you know, because I believe in, you know, just putting the music out there and let it do what it's going to do.
You're also acting.
Yes.
Man in 3B.
Yes.
So you just have... You, there's no box for you.
There's not, man. Like, you understand. Look who I come up under. Jamie Foxx. You know, we're all great athletes. I actually played on the practice squad for the Detroit Pistons mm-hmm. when I came out of college. I went to Louisiana Tech University, 4-year scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm a graduate. Great. You know what I'm saying? So we have so many, like,
Black
we're intelligent niggas that got, like, you know, those backgrounds of hardships, right. But we've actually been able to overcome those things. And every day it's a balance to try to keep sane and not go back to that mentality. But yeah, that's what I come from, that background. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, I mimic people who already got shit popping. You know right. what I'm saying? And my guy Daryl, me and him had a great conversation about, you know, promoters. I don't call them promoters, especially if they're doing other shit beyond that. You know, this is his brand right here. You know, the Blonde Season. And I commend him for that. And me personally, like, I was one of the first people to buy his shit, right? Because I tried my best in this Hollywood society to give everyone what I would hope that they would give me without me asking it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about it. You know, you came to like one of my last shows.
Yeah.
I don't want my friends coming to my shows. If you by chance see my shit and it's promoting, you come, great. I want people that don't fucking know me to fuck with me. That's what I'm striving for this year. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So with everything I'm doing, I'm just trying to affect people that I don't know and just see what they feel about it.
And then this I Heart Art space, mm-hmm. I like this because it seems like, okay, you've gotten to a point where even though you want to receive the gifts from your talents,
right.
you want to be able to give back as well.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about I Heart Art.
I started I Heart Art with my wife.
Whoa. It's like, no, I'm done.
I'm not with none of that, man. Like, I'm focused. I've done enough in these streets, man. And, you know, I have who I have. And, you know, so I always profess that she's a rock star. She's the dopest person. She's actually one of the main people that actually helped me stay sane and together in these situations, given the fact that I'm just like a runt.
How long have you guys been with each other?
Oh man, over 10 years. You know, but this is all through friendships and just you know, being in each other's lives or whatever. But we started I Heart Art like 4 years ago. But we got a brand new facility in Pasadena. We got a 3-level building. It's 2,000 square feet. I actually recorded it also, and it's an art gallery as well. And it's Tyler Teens and Adult classes that'll take place there, but it's a multi-purpose facility. So we have bachelor parties there. We had three movies already there that rented out the space. Wow. So we do a lot of different things. The front part of it, we're actually in April converting to a coffee cafe.
Oh, that's be nice.
So, you know, we're evolving and we're growing, and, you know, she supports what I'm actually doing. Like, there's no way I can be dope out here because I'm by myself. So if I keep pushing people like that away, yes. You know, at some point you gotta understand that.
You can
we're gonna need you to rewatch this at this part.
Right,
over.
I went to a show
and he was very talented, a lot of great energy on stage, and we have a mutual friend. Right. And then hearing him speak today is like at the top of the year, like this is what it's about. This is the black man, be educated.
So, but
you
I
don't
like
gotta
the,
be
I
a
like
thought.
The fact, I like
you
the
can
fact,
be married.
I like the fact that he repping his wife though.
That's why I was like,
he ain't holding nobody up. Unlike somebody else who got somebody in their life.
Turning into that,
up.
Y'all.
But what I'm saying is,
whatever.
To be successful, there's nothing wrong. I'm learning myself.
Be authentically
you. Over here ad-libbing.
Be you, like what he is.
You over here ad-libbing like, yeah. But you
I was saying, who's holding you down now?
You're not repping that. Moving right along.
I ain't married, so if I was married, I'd rep.
You ain't gotta be married. That dick been in that pussy for 15 fucking years.
Oh, wow.
This is getting personal right here.
Moving on.
All right, moving on from
that. It's all about just acknowledging your foundation.
Exactly. And you acknowledge your foundation
and
at the end of the day.
That's it.
I just want to take a side note because we were supposed to talk about it earlier, but it's actually just more fascinating of you. For how many years we've been talking about a hip-hop Hall of Fame, and they're finally building one in Harlem on 125th Street. And to hear you talk about this I Heart Art, to think, like, here's this one man and your woman. You guys put together this building to do something like this. To hear now people finally getting themselves together to create a hip-hop Hall of Fame at 125th Street, but I'm actually really excited to announce that.
NWA.
They're saying it's going to have a youth media program from the kids in the community, a TV studio, and then it reminded me because they're putting a juice in a coffee bar in there. But I'm just happy to see that they're putting it where I feel like it belongs, and they're going to involve the community. And to be, because I was just afraid they were going to put a room, and it was going to have some wax figures in there, and we were going to go in there. But to have a studio, to have these kids creating content around hip-hop, love that.
No, that's dope. That's dope.
Mr. Major, where can all your fans tweet you, connect with you, check out your music?
They can find me on SoundCloud at under Major Williams. On Instagram is Major Williams. Everything is – all my handles are the same. So just, you know, Major Williams Twitter, Major Williams Facebook.
And both singles are on iTunes?
Both singles are on iTunes.
When are we going to get a visual?
The visual is being shot – next Saturday.
And you can send it over to us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Bet.
Absolutely.
Let's get it.
Well, thank you for coming in. Make sure you guys make sure you guys follow him because honestly, like, inspirational. Just all across the
appreciate
board.
It,
you guys
y'all
can
look great.
Hey. You guys can hit us everywhere at BHL the B on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Tweet me at DJ Jesse J.
You can find me at Poppy Watts, P-A-P-I Watts, W-A-T-T-S. Catch me at Stir Tonight, King Los in the building, slide through.
I'm going to have to come through
that.
You
know what I'm saying? Let's get it. Let's
Queen.
Get it.
You can find me at Queen Wink on Snapchat and Instagram, Queen Live on Twitter. And for all your extension needs, check out winklux.com. My picture better pop up, bitch.
Hey, yo, catch me at Camera Penny on Instagram, camerapenny.com. That's what it is.
Holla till next week. We'll have Chrisette Michelle in the building.
Oh, yeah!
Peace.
Holla. Yes,
from producers
nigga.
Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.